works. That is the printing apparatus. It consists of 4,000 parts, like the engine. It's made of bronze, cast iron, and steel. Now, you mentioned sewing machines and patterns. Yeah? The printing mechanism will print on a, will stereotype, will produce a plate on a page, and you can program how the information is organized. So you can print in one column, in two columns, three columns, or four columns. You can print down the page and automatically line wrap to the top and print down the page. Or you can print across the page and automatically line wrap to print this way. And those are all patterns, exactly the same as you describe in your sewing machine. These are the wheels here. Those patterns are contained in these, in the intervals of these teeth, and you choose by just moving this paw, the selection device, which pattern you want to choose. So that's how you program it, exactly as the pattern of the sewing machine. So it's not in a cam. I think the cam you move to select which cam, over here you select which call, and you know what it's called? It's called a pattern wheel. Babbage called it a pattern wheel. But I'll show you that in more detail. So that's the printing and calculating device. That's the printing apparatus, and that's the stereotyping. That tray over there, that bronze tray, there are two trays, one tray there, one tray there, has plaster of Paris or papier mâché, in its soft material that it impresses the results on. So it's automatic typesetting, and you get a printing plate that you can automatically replicate without difficulty of error. And I'll show you how that runs. That's a drawing looking down on the printer. Yeah. So, and there's another example of the mechanical notation. That looks like a railway lines, but these are two fonts.
The printing itself, how print,
inking mechanism. I'll show you. Inking mechanism, and that's an elevation. That's looking at it from the side. And that's there's the paper roll, and it there's an inking bath over there. That roller comes down, inks the result on the printing wheel. It removes itself. That comes up and takes an impression on the roll of paper. And I'll show you that in simulation and in physical. Okay, this is how the simulation of how this works. So that's a figure wheel in the last column with the result, numerical result, and has to transmit itself to the printing wheel. That's the printing wheel. So that turns, moves that, yep. So then that's just one channel, that's one digit. Now we'll have all the digits, 31 digits up, and those are your printing wheels. So that's going to print on the paper. So those change, right. Here's the paper stock with the paper barrel. And there's the inking mechanism. So the inking mechanism comes down, inks that line of results, comes up, takes an impression, goes back. Results change. The new line gets inked, takes a new impression. The act of this sweeping up advances the paper to the next line. So that's how it does it. The simulation or the mechanism?
Oh, the mechanism.
The mechanism. It's a very subtle, it took a long time to figure out how this advances the paper and how the line height wouldn't change as the paper stock diminished. The more paper you use, the diameter of the roll diminishes. And so the line height, the separation between the lines would change. It doesn't. It's a very, very sophisticated mechanism. Let me go back and we can just go back a bit. Okay, so there it's inking and taking an impression. Okay, now we're going to do stereotyping. So there's the stereotype trays. The result goes onto the print wheels, gets transferred to the print heads. Right, so new result comes down there. It goes down into the paper mache or the plaster of Paris and produces a result. And then this moves one line on. You'll see there, it moves. And that is driven by a falling weight, which we'll see when we... Two fonts, small font, big font, different line heights. It's printing in two columns now, automatic. So you can see the narrowing here makes the smaller font and the larger font. And that's the whole mechanism working. Okay, so we can now see that work. Okay, so there you can see the printing mechanism taking a thing and the falling weight which advances the tray. So each time this takes a result, tray moves to receive the next one driven by the falling weight. Okay, this is the ink bath. If you lift that up, you can see the ink rollers. There's an ink bath there. And so each time it produces more ink for each result. Now this is an interesting device. And I'm doing that by hand now. You can see it's moving backwards and forwards on a worm gear over there. Moving backwards and forwards. That is, if there's a line of ink, it spreads the ink this way. So you can't get a line of white going down the page if there's no ink there. That's Babbage's design. Now you can see the print wheels taking each new result. There's a print wheels taking each new result. The inking bar will come down. Ink, boom. You can see the timing is very tight and takes a new impression, and that prints it on the paper. That's for hard copy. And at the same time, it's stereotyping the result on paper on Plaster of Paris. Okay, there we can see it taking a result. This was before we aligned it properly. That's an experimental one, it's to get it straight. Okay. So this is the format. I mentioned we can change the trays. So this is printing line to line, goes line to line to line to line, then automatically flies back and then starts the next column. It does that automatically, the flyback. And then if we go to the next one, that's printing column to column. So it prints a column across there and then it automatically jumps back. Prints one there, and then automatically jumps back. So depending on which format you choose using the pattern wheels, it will either print line to line, automatically fly back, or column to column and automatically column wrap. And now we can see a simulation of that. The print head. I'll show you. I've got a picture of it coming. Yes. Yes.
I couldn't help but comparing that with the classic Compteur Imprimeur, which was a statistical machine designed by Lucien Marchais, the head of the French Statistical Office, at the very end of the 19th century, so 60 years later. And this is way more advanced than what Lucien Marchais did.
The typesetting?
Yeah.
Yes. Of course, it can only work with numbers, because you've only got 10.
Right.
We couldn't do alphanumerics like that. Yeah.
The only mistake is you print on an iron cylinder.
Uh-huh.
That is a mistake.
Which does?
In your...
No?
It's an iron cylinder.
It's rubber.
Paper.
Is it country?
Rubber.
Rubber.
Country.
Oui. It's a very hard rubber. Yeah.
Because it's not very good.
The quality is not good, but the quality we improved later. But firstly, secondly, the printed record is only for record keeping. It's not used for tabulation. It's only to know what you've got on the stereotype plate. Mm-hmm. It's purely for record keeping. It doesn't matter what the quality is because it's never going to be reproduced. It's only to know this is what we produced on the printing plate is the real output. The stereotype plate is the real output of the machine. And that is better aligned. I'll show you an example of one we've made. So this is the simulation of the so it prints a result, moves the tray automatically, prints another result. So it's a group of five, it's left a gap there to read, automatically moves. When it finishes the column, automatically moves and starts again. So you don't have to stop the machine to reset the tray. it automatically line wraps depending on how the pattern wheel is set up. So and now we can see that work in real life. See, this is moving that. The falling weight is moving the tray each time.
It prints twice.
Yes. It moves once, but in two movements. It has two movements for one line. That is the print head now. Okay, the results aren't changing. This was a very early video. So those results would change automatically each cycle. It's just showing it how it comes down.
Was there anything similar in complexity between that of this engine and the printers that were added to tabulators a century later? Punch card machines at IBM, Hewlett, got more or less similar printers only a century after that age. Was there anything similar in between?
I don't know.
That's amazing.
I don't know. It's extraordinary. Those are the most advanced typesetting machines.
But I see there are only one head per digit.
Yes. One wheel per digit.
One
that's right. Yes. Yes.
As the number of
yes.
Each digit will seem to be similar to the tools to
punch.
To punch.
We call these punch heads. They're called punch heads. I'll show you a detailed.
But the digit which are on the wheel
yes.
are different because they are not so massive as that. No separator.
No, there's no separation.
The digit on the wheel
mm-hmm.
That look an assembly of existing tools. Each digit here mm-hmm. is like the punctured digit.
Yes, yes. Used.
But on the other printer,
yes.
It's they belong to the wheel.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Not,
yes,
they, an assembly.
Yes, yes, yes. But that's a question of manufacturing.
Yes, yes. But it's more difficult to make.
Sure.
You know how that was made by a sculpture.
Yes, yes, yes.
The other also, but for each specific wheel.
I'll show you a detail of it, which is coming. What I want to show you with this thing is. How the tray automatically comes back to a new column. I'll move this on a bit. Here we go. Okay, so it's coming to the end of a column now. And you can see the tray is quite far advanced. There's no tray there. It's gone all the way down. Right, then when it gets to the end of the page, boom, you just keep turning. The tray automatically rolls itself back. And it carries on. So you can do a complete page without interfering with it. It doesn't ring a bell and ask you to. Now the problem is, once you've set the machine up, you turn the handle, the internal state has changed. So the moment you turn the handle again, you've altered the internal state and it won't resume the top of the table where it should. So it's designed so that you don't interfere with the machine. You can actually replace the trays and carry on till the page is finished. Then you only replace the tray when the page is finished, but without turning the handle. So the idea is you can get access to the tray to remove it, put new page without having to run the whole thing again to get to that point. So they thought quite seriously about the logistics. There's the print head. Now that's what we call a punch head. And each of those, as you say, is a separate piece of type that is silver soldered onto the host material. And there is a slot here and a lock, a wedge goes in there to align them. Every time it goes into a line, which is an example of Babbage's locks.
It's a what metal?
Of these? It's a hardened steel.
Yeah,
steel. Hardened steel, yes.
They are not mold.
No.
They are
not lead.
No. No.
They are covered in steel pieces, like a sculpture.
I believe they cast. They cast, and then the tops are machined, and then they're hardened. They don't get much wear because they're going into soft material all the time. The print wheels for the printer take much more wear. They have a much harder life because they've got to go into hard rubber. That is an example of an experimental tray we made using this with impressed in plaster of Paris. So, and you can see here, 190. Where are we going? 188, 189, never mind. You can print the argument of the table and the result on the same line. So you can take a scalpel and cut down there and put one on the left and one on the right, and you'll have the argument, the value of the independent variable, and the result in the next column with no possibility of an error because of the mismatch. Anyhow, that's a subtlety. Now, this was to do with patterns, and I've already explained that. The way you choose, we saw an example where there was five lines and then a gap of one line, five lines to make it easy to read. All that is determined by the arrangement of these teeth on these pattern wheels. So one pattern wheel for one arrangement.
This wheel is a programming wheel.
Yes, yes. It's programmable through the pattern wheels.
By changing the wheel.
No, you just change the selection. You just move this along. Okay. See, those two things will select one wheel or the other. Now, the two movements you saw, one is a pawl that releases the wheel, and the other one is to stop the wheel running away. That's what they're two movements. So you just move that along, and you choose a different wheel. So you don't. Now, you can, if you want other patterns, take the wheels off, put new wheels on. But there are four what we call factory issue design for the patterns of the wheels. Yeah. And that's what he was trying to do. That is Babbage's logarithm tables of 1827. And
this machine computes the difference.
Okay? No, it computes.
It computes logarithm or it computes extrapolation.
It'll extrapolate any mathematical function that can be approximated by a Taylor series.
Yes.
Any mathematical function that has a mathematical series, it will interpolate between the pivotal readings. So you calculate the big readings, you set it up, it'll interpolate everything below.
Because you calculate several terms, but you have a limited number of terms.
You can get several hundred before the precision of the last one starts deviating from the true, from a true polynomial. Every few hundred, yes.
Yes,
for the approximation, to take account of the approximation.
Yeah.
Yes. I mentioned locks, that Babbage had locks. These wedge-shaped devices which stopped, and you can see there, this is looking down on it. So this is a column of a wheel into the page, and that wedge-shaped device there runs all the way down the whole column. So I'll show you how that works. Those are the helices, those things you saw whirling around at the back. That's the plan view. Looks like a toy in a fairground. So now we're going to look at how a lock works. So here's the lock. That's like a sword blade, and there's the wedge there. Yep, that's the thing we saw looking from above in the last drawing. Now, these are racks with V's now, no longer semicircular, but V's. And the function, this lock goes in and out several times in the cycle, and the function of the lock is threefold. If the rack is not exactly positioned, the entrance of the wedge will align it properly. If the lock is half a movement out, the lock will hit the end of the tooth and jam it. Now, jamming is not a catastrophe. Jamming tells you the integrity of the result of the calculation has been compromised. So it's error detection. Tells you it's no longer digital, don't rely on the result. So there's error correction, like pulse shaping. There's error detection, which is the what's called, and there's locking, which stops the rack moving at a time in the cycle where it shouldn't be moving. So it stops derangement. So it's three separate functions performed by the lock, and we can watch it work now. Okay, so you watch the lock and it'll go in. And if you watch carefully, the two racks, you can see how the lock aligns them, puts them in line. If you watch carefully there, boom. Can you see it's slightly out of alignment and it goes back in alignment? Boom. You see it corrects it as it goes in. And that's what lines up the print on the printer. Now that technique is used right through the engine to digitize. Yes.
One result seems to me divide in several subtimes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and after you make a new technique, how many subtimes you have in a period?
I'm going to show you the timing diagram of this machine, and you will see exactly. I will show you the timing diagram.
Okay.
But basically, what it does is does 10 calculations in a minute. So it does one calculation every 6 seconds, 6, 8 seconds. And one calculation is 7 31 digit additions. So it does 7 31 digit additions in 6 seconds.